Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Now, last week, I think there was four of us here. No, I'm just kidding. It was a fairly thin crowd, but if you were here last week, we talked about the scripture where Christ was 12 years old, and it's the last recorded word we have of Christ's life until he began his ministry approximately at the age of 30. So he found himself in Nazareth. He went with his family, and it says that this span, this from 12 to 30, the things he was doing, he was being obedient to his parents. He was growing in wisdom and stature, and he was growing in favor with God and with man. And so we understand that there's this maturing process going on in Christ for these 18 or so years, from this last time that was recorded at the age of 12 until he began his ministry. We pick it up now, Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Jesus, now a man, and he has matured. Not just physically, but he has matured spiritually, and he is beginning to launch his ministry, and we pick it up in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Now, he's referring back to the book of Isaiah, where the prophet Isaiah, there's so many prophetic words that Isaiah spoke that foretold of the coming of Christ and specific things, where he would be born and how he would heal and he would die and he would die for our sins and so on and so forth. But in this case, Isaiah, he's quoting, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said last week, we picked up Jesus at 12, and there's this maturing process going on. And now John the Baptist has come, and he has pronounced the kingdom. Today's sermon is "Prepare the Way for the Lord." How many of you have seen the new movie? I think it's been out about a week, called War Horse. Anybody? A few of you? Good movie, isn't it? There's a scene in this movie, and I won't spoil it for you. No spoiler. This is not a spoiler alert. But you know the premise of the movie is this horse that ends up in World War I and his saga of this horse and his owners and so forth. But there's this scene. And it's the early 1900s. It's just prior to World War I. And this man buys this thoroughbred horse when he should have bought this big plow horse. But he just could not get away from the beauty of this animal. And so he buys this thoroughbred. And it comes time that he's going to lose his farm if he cannot plow this old rocky field. And it's just an old, hard, rocky field. And he needs a big, strong horse. Instead, he's got this sleek, fast animal. And so there's this idea, this whole time of trying to get this horse that's not built to do this sort of work to plow this field. You see, the ground had to be plowed. It had to be prepared in order for crops to be produced, in order for the farmer and his family to survive, to pay their debts and survive. This rocky soil had to be prepared. That's what's going on in this scripture. John the Baptist is preparing the way. He says, I'm preparing the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So what is this idea? As we come into this new year, today being the first day of 2012, how many of you have set New Year's resolutions? You know, the best way to not break one is don't set one. You know, I don't have any specific New Year's resolutions, but I have a broad New Year's resolution. I want to press into God. I want to get deeper in my own personal walk with the Lord, because I really truly believe that unless I get deeper, our church will not get deeper. You believe that? If I don't get deeper, how can I lead anyone else to get deeper unless I get deeper? So there's this preparation that has to happen whenever we're trying to seek the Lord in his kingdom. Well, what is John saying the preparation is? Repentance. We have to understand that God is God and we're not. See, the nation of Israel, they found themselves in this position where there was this need for repentance. John proclaimed the kingdom of Christ, that this kingdom that was come, that had come through Christ, and he proclaimed it with the word repent. Until a man owns his own guilt, I read this, until a man owns his own guilt, he will not seek pardon. We have to understand that God is God, he is holy, and we are not. Now, we are made holy through the blood of Christ, but we have to understand outside of the blood of Christ, we're broken. We're broken, and something has to plow this field in us, and it's this word repentance, and we don't like that word, do we? Because repentance seems to indicate that there's something wrong with us. Well, God, newsflash, there is something wrong with us. We're broken. We are flawed, and outside of the blood of Christ, we are helpless. This idea of repentance, it's not this emotional state. It's not something that where we have to feel this. It's a conscious decision, an act of the will, where we understand that we are broken and God is holy and we need him, and we submit our will to him. This act of repentance. There's, one of the things that, again, going back to that movie, when they plowed the ground, that was just the beginning. It was just the beginning, this idea of repentance, of breaking, preparing the ground. Once the ground was prepared, what really convinced people that the preparation had worked, that there was abundance in the preparation, was the fruit. Our conduct, church, is repentance is revealed in our conduct, if you will. True repentance is revealed in our conduct. So I believe that for 2012, I believe that God would have us to get on our knees before him and to confess to him that we need him. That's, you know, some people, I ask people to pray up here, and if you, some people will say, well, I can't do that, I don't know how to do that and all that. You know, sometimes the best prayer, the most powerful prayer is just help. Something simple like, God, help me. I need you. This act of repentance before a holy God. So, what does John the Baptist tell us? This it begins, this preparation of the Lord, this making straight paths for him, begins with repentance. And then what comes next? What he says to us in verse 6, he says, they came confessing their sins and they were baptized by him in the Jordan. In just a little while, we're gonna do a baptism today. I love it. January the 1st, 2012. You gonna remember that date, Kenley? Yes, we're going to baptize Kinley. She came forward last week, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, two Sundays ago. She came forward and she said, I want to be baptized. She had Jesus in her heart and she wants to be baptized. There's this act of repentance leading to confession of our sins, leading to this being baptized in Him. In Matthew chapter 3, it says, in verse 11, we read through 6, but in verse 11 it says, I baptize you with water, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. There's this idea of repentance and confession of our sins before a holy God, and how we can be baptized in that. But then it says that we receive the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be Christ, to be the church. It empowers and equips us. Many of you remember in the book of Acts, the second chapter, book of Acts, we've had Christ has died and he's been resurrected and he's spent time with the disciples and others, and he has ascended back to the Father. And then we have Pentecost, which is when the Holy Spirit is sent and descends upon and fills the disciples, and they began to speak in the native tongues of all of those in the area. And this is what happens when all those people are seeing the power of God being revealed through the Holy Spirit in these disciples. Here's what happens in Acts chapter 2. Therefore let all, and this is Paul speaking, Peter speaking. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now, when we understand that, I remember that moment, I was 30, and you've heard my story if you've been here very long, but I'd gone to church my whole life, and somehow I found myself at 30 years old, and I still didn't get it. I thought Christianity was about being good. Anybody ever thought that? It's about being good. No, it's not. It's not about being good. It's about a Savior that God Himself became flesh. He came down, He lived a sinless life. He was nailed to a tree for me and for you. And He has bought us with His precious blood. He has bought us eternal life. That's what Christianity is about. And I remember that moment when that became reality to me, and I asked the same question, God, what shall I do? I was convicted that my sin had nailed Him there. And here's what Peter's reply was, repent, there's that word again, and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off. That's you and I, by the way. We're in there. For all whom the Lord our God will call. So it's simple. I know y'all are shocked if you weren't here last week. We got out at 11:20 last week, by the way. And that's another, shortness doesn't make it better, but I just wanted you to know and be impressed with that. But it's a simple message today. It's a really simple message. As we enter into this new year, are we a humble and repentant people? Do we understand that there but by the grace of God go I? That God in His mercy has found us worthy to take some nails for us? Have we repented? Have we confessed our sins? Have we been baptized in that faith? And that should get us through 2012. This idea that we are these broken vessels that have been pieced back together into beautiful creations. God's Word says that we are His masterpieces. That's the message today. 2012. It's this meal that we will begin this new year with this meal. It's a costly meal. It's not free. It's not to be taken lightly. It's a costly meal. It cost us the very life of our Savior Jesus. His body, the night that he was betrayed and deserted, he said, "This is my body, broken for you." And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, established in my blood, given for you, poured out for you." If you'll pray with me. Bless, O Lord, this bread and this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ. And may we be your ambassadors. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd take just a moment and confess, silently just confess your own personal prayer of repentance before this holy God, if you would do that now. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. If those who are serving and the praise team and the sound team would come forward. The table has been set by Christ himself, and the invitation comes from Christ as well. You are invited to this table if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've repented of your sins. You are invited. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If you have confessed your sins and have called Jesus your Lord, you're invited. We have four stations that you will be given a piece of bread and you can dip the bread into the juice and partake in that manner. We have the center section where it's the individual cups. You'll be given a piece of bread and you can partake of the individual cups in the center. And the altar rail is open as well. The invitation is made. Come.
To the cross I look, to the cross I cling, of this suffering I dream, of this work I sinners clutched beneath that flood. since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till
that. Amen. Go ahead and be seated.
Well, Kenley, this is the big day we've been waiting for. As I said a couple of weeks ago, Kenley came forward and she wanted to be baptized, and we've since talked some more about all of that. And so she comes this day. I think Jesus has been in her heart for a long time, but she comes to make it official today and to be baptized in that faith. And Kenley, as we talked about, the symbolism of the immersion baptism that we're going to do this morning is there's, as you go under the water, there's this idea of being dying to ourself, dying to our sin, and as you come up out of the water, there's this idea of new life, coming up in new life of Christ. And then we will invite the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you. That's exciting, huh? Yeah, yeah. So we talked about some questions that I'm going to ask you, and the first one is, do you confess that you're a sinner? Amen. And do you want to receive Jesus in your heart as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. And you want to be baptized in that faith and receive the Holy Spirit? Amen. Okay, if you'll step right down there and sit, and Dad's going to assist me, and Mom's going to take the photo. If you'll hold your nose, and Kenley, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just stay down there where it's a little warmer. I want to invite anybody from the family that wants to come up as we pray for Kenley to come on up. Family, friends, anybody that wants to come up and put a hand on her. Miss Carlene is pay no attention to the one in the staircase here.
I'm not
going to
help her.
All right. I'll let everybody get up here. You got a lot of people that love you, Kenley. If y'all would just put a hand on, if you can't reach Kenley, put a hand on the person in front of you. All right. Father, we thank you for the gift that you have given through your Son, Jesus, of eternal life. We thank you for placing your heart in Kenley's heart. I pray now that you would fill her from head to toe with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come and inhabit her, God. That I pray that you'd, I think you've made Kenley for special things. I pray, God, that you would just anoint her with the power of your Holy Spirit, that she would be a strong and bold woman for Christ as she grows up, God. I pray protection for her, physical and spiritual and emotional protection for her. I pray for Mom and Dad, God, that they would continue to be a godly home for her. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace and tell somebody. We are dismissed.